بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 40th hadith from Al-Arba'een al-Nabawiyyah, the 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nabawi. And it is the hadith which has been narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. An Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qal, أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنكبي فقال كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل. وكان ابن عمر radiallahu anhuma يقول إذا أمسيت فلا تنتظر الصباح وإذا أصبحت فلا تنتظر المساء وخذ من صحتك لمرضك ومن حياتك لموتك. رواه البخاري. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates, he said, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took hold of my shoulder. And then he said, كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب. Be in this world as if you are gharib, a stranger. أو عابر سبيل, or somebody who is only passing by. And Ibn Umar himself used to say, إذا أمسيت, if you live till the evening, فلا تنتظر الصباح, that do not wait for the morning. وإذا أصبحت فلا تنتظر المساء, and you live, if you live in the morning, do not wait for the evening. وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ, and take from your health to prepare for your illness. وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ, and take from your death, take from your life to prepare for your death. And the hadith has been narrated by Al-Bukhari. So this hadith was narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. And he is a famous virtuous companion called Abdullah. His name was Abdullah. And he is Ibn Umar, i.e. the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So he is Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab ibn Nufail al-Qurashi al-Adawi. And his kunya is Abu Abdurrahman. And so he is Sahabi ibn Sahabi, a companion, the son of a companion. And also he is the full brother of Ummul Mu'mineen Hafsa radiallahu anha. And his mother was Zainab bint al-Madhun. And she was the sister of Uthman ibn Madhun radiallahu anhu. And Uthman ibn Madhun was one of the companions who first accepted Islam. And some say that he was a step brother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam through the same suckling mother. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he accepted Islam when he was very young. He accepted Islam before the age of puberty, along with his father. When his father accepted Islam, also Abdullah accepted Islam. However, Abdullah was very young in age. And he made hijrah with his father from Mecca to Al-Madinah. And when he made hijrah, he was 10 years old. And the first battle which Abdullah ibn Umar fought was the battle of Khandaq. And this is because he sought permission from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to fight the battle of Badr. فَرَدَّنِي, he said, however, the Prophet refused me. Why? Because he was only 13 years old. He said, ثُمَّ عَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ أُحُدٍ, and then I came to him on the battle of Uhud. And I was 14 years old, فَرَدَّنِي, so he refused me. ثُمَّ عَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْخَنْدَقِ, and then I came to him on the battle of Khandaq. And I was 15 years old, فَأَجَازَنِي, and then he gave me permission. And after this battle, he fought all the other battles with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also from the virtues of this famous companion, Abdullah ibn Umar, is that he is from a special group of companions called Al-Ibadillah Al-Arba'a, the four Abdullahs. Al-Ibadillah Al-Arba'a, the four Abdullahs. And these four virtuous companions, they were a group of companions whose name begins with Abdullah. And of course, there were many companions whose first name is Abdullah. Some of the ulama said there was at least 120 different companions whose name was Abdullah. From these many Sahaba, there was a special group of four companions. And these four companions, they were known for their knowledge and their fiqh, and people returned back to them after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there were four companions who lived for a long time after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they are four: Abdullah ibn Umar, and then Abdullah ibn al-Abbas, and then Abdullah ibn Zubayr, and then Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. So these four companions, Ibn Abbas, Ibn Zubayr, Ibn Umar, and Ibn Amr ibn al-As, these four companions, their name is Abdullah. And they are known as the Ibadillah, Al-Arba'a, the four Abdullahs. Of course, there were other companions also with the name Abdullah who had great knowledge. For example, Ibn Mas'ud, he is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he is at their level, if not higher, in terms of knowledge. However, he didn't live a long time after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like they lived. So he lived for a number of years, but not as long as these companions did. Because these companions, they were the younger companions. Each one of them is the son of another famous Sahabi. So because they were from Sighar al-Sahaba, from the younger Sahaba, they lived for a long time after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at the time of the Tabi'een, if these four came together and they agreed upon a particular issue, then the ulama would use this. They would say, هَذَا قَوْلْ الْعِبَادِلَى الْأَرْبَعَةِ. This is the view of the four Abdullahs. هَذَا مَذْهَبْ الْعِبَادِلَى الْأَرْبَعَةِ. This is the madhab of the four Ibadillah. As is known from Al-Imam Ahmad and others from amongst the Muhaddithun and the Fuqaha. And Ibn Umar, not only was he known for his knowledge, but he was also known for his ibadah and how close he was in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also the soundness of his heart and the generosity of the humbleness which he had. So much so that it is said regarding Abdullah ibn Umar, the ulama say that he never used to eat illa wa ala ma'idatihi yatim yusharikuhu fi at-ta'am, except that with him at the side of the table is an orphan, and that this orphan would be sharing his food. Ibn Umar never took a meal except that there was a yatim who he would feed as well, radiallahu anhu. Also, he was known for his hatred of the people of innovation. And this is why when he was told about the Qadariya, who were a people or a group of innovation from a particular area, he said, أخبرهم, inform them, أني بريء منهم وهم بريء مني. Inform them that I am free from them and they are free from me. So he used to hate the people of innovation. And he died 73 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, and he was buried in Mecca. As for this hadith centers around a zuhud, that a person should stay away from indulging in the dunya and relying on the dunya. Because this dunya, it isn't a place in which a person is going to live forever. And a person only lives 60, 70, 80 or 90 years of his life in this dunya. From these 60, 70 years, the first 10 or 15 is as a child. And then the last 10 or 15 is like as if the person has returned back to being a child in need of other people, in a state of weakness. And a third of a person's life a person spends in sleep. So in reality, how much does a person live upon this dunya? Even if a person lived for 60, 70 years, minus the first 10 or 15 when he was a child, and then minus the last 10 or 15 when he is old and ill and weak and not earning anymore, take that away as well. And then after that, take another 20 years away, a third of his life in just sleeping on his bed. So in reality, how long does a person live in this dunya? Only a few years. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised in this hadith, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib." Be in this dunya as if you are a stranger or somebody who is traveling, because you're not going to remain long upon this earth. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, "Akhadha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi min kabiyya." That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took hold of me by my shoulder, meaning to attract his attention, that this is something important which I am telling you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in front of him, and he placed his hand upon the shoulder of Ibn Umar to grasp his attention. And then he said to him, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib." Be in this dunya, this worldly life, as if you are gharib. And the meaning of gharib is somebody who doesn't belong here. Because the Muslim, his heart should be attached to the Akhirah. So he belongs to the Akhirah. And therefore a gharib is somebody who is a stranger in a particular place, lonely in a particular place. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, "Irtahalat ad-dunya mudbira." This dunya has begun its journey and it is going away from you. وَارْتَحَلَتِ الْآخِرَةِ مُقْبِلَةِ. And the Akhirah has begun its journey, but it is coming towards you. وَلِكُلِّ مِّنْهُمَا بَنُونَ. And each one of them have children. There are children of the dunya and there are children of the Akhirah. He said, "فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا." So be from the children of the Akhirah and do not be from the children of the dunya. So this is the meaning of "كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ." Be in this dunya as if you are a stranger. Meaning don't be from the children of the dunya, but be from the children of the Akhirah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O عَابِرُ sabil." Or somebody who is just passing by. A traveler came, stopped for a few moments, and then he is passing by. And which one of these two has greater zuhud? The latter. So the abiru sabil, the one who is passing by, has a greater level of zuhud than the gharib, the stranger. Because the stranger, although he may be a stranger, but he is resident in that place. He feels that he doesn't belong to the place, but he is resident in that place. As for Abiru Sabil, the one who is passing by, he isn't even resident. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him these two levels. That be a stranger, and if you can have even more zuhud than a stranger, such that you're only a passerby, then this is even better. This is greater in taqwa and greater in asceticism. And the intelligent person invests in a place according to how long he is going to remain in that place. And we're going to remain upon this dunya for a certain amount of time. And then after this dunya, there is a barzakh. And in the barzakh, we're going to remain for a greater amount of time. And then after the barzakh, there is the akhirah. And then in the akhirah, it's going to be a greater amount of time. And so the intelligent person invests in his place of residence according to how long he's going to remain in that residence. So if we're going to remain in the akhirah the longest, then our investment has to be the greatest for the akhirah. And then if it is the barzakh which is next, then our investment in the barzakh is next. And then if it is the dunya the least, then also our investment in the dunya. So we still make some investment in the dunya. However, according to how long we are going to live here. And then Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he himself used to say, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرُ الصَّبَاحِ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرُ الْمَسَاءِ. That if you live in the evening, don't wait for the morning. And if you live in the morning, don't wait for the evening. Because you don't know whether you're going to be alive for the second period. So now the evening has come and soon the evening is going to go. And when we go to sleep, nobody amongst us knows whether we're going to be awake until Fajr. So as to say that the obligation of today, I won't do it now, I will do it tomorrow. Because you don't know whether you'll be alive until tomorrow. And nobody amongst us here can guarantee, if a question was asked, do you know you will wake up tomorrow? Nobody can raise their hand and say, yes, I know I will be alive till tomorrow. Because if this was the case, then people would start worshipping you. But Allah is Al-Hayy. Allah is the eternal living. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he died, and the Sahaba were in a state of shock, and some of them, like Umar, they were denying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has died. And some of them said, he has only gone to his Lord like Musa went to his Lord. And like Musa came back from his Lord, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is also coming back from his Lord. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he raised his sword. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as-Siddiq, he stood up. And he said, مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ. Whoever used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Muhammad has died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهِ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. And whoever used to worship Allah, Allah is Al-Hayy. He is the eternal living. He does not die. So no human can guarantee that they will be alive in the evening if they are living in the morning, or the morning if they are living in the evening. And this is why Ibn Umar used to say, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتْ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرُ الصَّبَاحَ. If you live in the evening, do not wait for the morning. Meaning fulfill the obligations of the evening. The day that you are living, fulfill its obligations. Don't leave it till tomorrow. الشافعي رحمه الله, he said, تَزَوَّدْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي إِذَا جَنَّ اللَّيْلِ هَلْ تَعِيشُ إِلَى الْفَجْرِ. He said, تَزَوَّدْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Take your provisions from the dunya. Meaning, do the actions and fulfill the obligations of the daytime. Because you do not know. إِذَا جَنَّ اللَّيْلِ, when the night becomes dark, هَلْ تَعِيشُ إِلَى الْفَجْرِ. Will you remain alive until Fajr? And if a person keeps thinking that tomorrow I will fulfill the obligations, this will never happen. Because today has its obligations and tomorrow has its obligations. And if you don't fulfill today's obligations and then tomorrow comes, then tomorrow you have the previous day's obligations remaining and also that day's obligation remaining. And each day has its own battles. And that's why you should never leave the battle of today for tomorrow. Because tomorrow also has its battle. So you have to fulfill the obligations of now. And if tomorrow comes, then tomorrow has its own challenges and its own struggles and obligations. And then he said, وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ. That whilst you are healthy, do the actions. Because there will come a time in which you will become weak and ill. And then you will say, if only I was healthy, I would do so and so. If only I was young, I would do so and so. And yet when you were young and when you were healthy, you didn't do. And this is like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Utilize five situations before five situations. And he said, شبابك قبل هرمك. That utilize your youth before you become old. وصحتك قبل مرضك. And utilize your health before you become ill. وغناك قبل فقرك. And use your wealth before you become poor. And then he said, وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And also your life. Utilize your life before death comes to you. Because when death comes, then people will say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh my Lord, take me back. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتَ. So maybe I can do the good deeds which I left. But Allah will not allow the people to return. And this is why we have to utilize our age, our youth, our health, and our life before the other situation occurs. So this hadith, it encourages the believer to not be attached to the dunya too much and to have zuhud. And zuhud is a level of simplicity in this dunya. And having a lot in this dunya doesn't mean anything. Having a lot in this dunya doesn't mean anything. Do you not see how the people of kufr and the people of disbelief and the people of sinning and disobedience to Allah, how they have so much in this dunya? And Allah sometimes gives the people of disobedience more in this dunya, like you see now. A person might say, I'm a person of iman, I'm a person of taqwa, I'm a person of tawheed, and yet I don't have much. And fulan is a person of shirk and kufr and ma'asiyah, and he eats haram and sells haram, and he oppresses people. Yet Allah has given him so much. Why has Allah given the sinner so much and the pious one so little? And sometimes Allah subhanahu, He gives those people more and more istidrajan. And the meaning of istidraj is that this is something Allah gives them more and more and more, and they become more negligent and more arrogant until one day death comes to them. And then when death comes to them, then the punishment is even more severe. And this is called istidraj. That they forgot Allah, so Allah gave them more. And then they became more arrogant, so Allah gave them more and more and more. Until they are completely arrogant and forgetful of Allah, and then death comes to that person. And then there is a punishment upon that person. And this is called istidraj. And this is what Allah mentions in the Quran. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. And when they forgot that which they were reminded about. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Then we opened for them the doors of everything. Meaning the doors of dunya were opened for them when they forgot about Allah. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. Until they became happy and delighted by that which they were given. And then Allah said, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَى. And then we take them. And we take them suddenly, without any warning. So this is istidraj. So therefore, a person being attached to the dunya, this is something which is dispraised. However, it is important that we understand the Islamic evidences, all of them. Meaning we don't take one hadith and then base all our understanding on one hadith. Rather, we have to look at all of the evidences, the ayat, the seerah of the Prophet, the other ahadith, and try to understand them in light of each other. So there are other evidences in which we are encouraged to work and encouraged to have a career and a skill and have wealth And there are also ahadith which forbid us from being attached to the dunya. And these ahadith, we have to understand them in light of each other. So a Muslim is encouraged to work and earn and possess and have money and have wealth and education. But at this end, a Muslim is encouraged to be independent of the people and not depend on anybody. A Muslim is encouraged to give as opposed to asking. A Muslim is encouraged to have the hand which donates and not the hand which receives. And the hand which spends, not the hand which is spent upon. And the hand which gives in charity and not the hand which receives charity. And there are evidences for this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, الْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدُ السُّفْلَى, that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. Because the upper hand gives and provides, and the lower hand always takes and requests. So the upper hand, which is independent and honorable and generous, is better than the lower hand, which has to humble itself in order to ask from the people and dependent upon the people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun min al-mu'min al-dha'if wa fi kullin khayr," that the strong believer is better than the weak believer, and in both of them is goodness. This strength, first, it is the strength of Iman, first. And then after this, everything which follows on. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spoke about that person who carries wood on his back. And he goes and he sells the wood. And then he earns his provisions from this. And then he said, فَيَأْكُلُ مِنْهُ, and he eats from this money. وَيَتَصَدَّقُ مِنْهُ, and he donates from this money. And he provides from this money. And this is better than أَنْ يَأْتِيَ رَجُلًا, that he comes to a man. أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, and Allah has given this man from his kindness. فَيَسْأَلُهُ, and then he asks this man. فَأَعْطَاهُ أَوْ مَنَعَهُ, and this man either gives him or he doesn't give to him. It's better for a person to earn and work and carry wood and sell wood, provide for himself, provide for his family and donate to others, as opposed to going to others and asking and humbling himself in front of others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا أَكَلَ أَحَدٌ طَعَامًا, nobody has ever eaten any food, خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَنْ يَأْكُلْ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ, better than food which a person eats from the work of his own hands. A person worked and bought his food and cooked his food, better than eating food from the other people. وَإِنَّ نَبِيَّ اللَّهِ دَاوُودِ, and verily the Prophet of Allah Dawood, كَانَ يَأْكُلُ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ, he used to eat from the earnings of his own hand. And also, Allah forbade us on Yawm al-Jum'ah, that if the adhan of Yawm al-Jum'ah has been called, then stop your buying and selling and come to the masjid. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ, O people of Iman, if the salah is called on Yawm al-Jum'ah, فَسْعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, then go to the remembrance of Allah, وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءِ, and stop your buying and selling. And then what did Allah say in the ensuing ayat? He said, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, and when the salah is finished, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, then grow, spread upon the earth. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and go seek the provisions of Allah. So all of these ayat and these hadith and many other ayat, they encourage us to work and earn and possess and have money and be independent and have a career and have skills and so on and so forth. So therefore this hadith, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ, be in this dunya as if you are a stranger or a passerby. What does this hadith mean? It means that a person doesn't sacrifice the akhirah for the dunya. So Allah has promised a house in the akhirah, and a person can buy a house in the dunya with haram, with interest. The meaning of this hadith is, don't sacrifice the house in the akhirah for the house of the dunya. And also, that a person may possess the dunya in his hands, but it doesn't overtake his heart. So for a person to have the dunya in his hand, but have the akhirah in his heart, he is the best of both worlds. That Allah has given him ease and wealth of the dunya, and also given him the ease of the akhirah. As for a person whose heart is attached to the dunya, this is where, and this is what the hadith forbids. And also, that the asl with regards to the Muslim is working for the akhirah. Yes, we live in this world, and we have to invest and take some provisions and eat and drink, and our children have to have an education and a safe, warm house and a career and so on and so forth. However, the asl, the default is that a Muslim works for the akhirah and invests for the akhirah. And also the meaning of this hadith is that don't become too happy, neither become too sad over the dunya. Whether you're being blessed in the dunya with wealth, or whether you are facing difficulty in the dunya, don't allow it to take you to the extremes of extreme happiness or extreme depression. Rather, always in the middle. A person is on the journey. Why is he here? He has to eat and live and drink, but the akhirah is the destination. And this beautiful statement, some of the ulama, they say, halalu hadhihi dunya hisab wa haramuha iqab. Halalu hadhihi dunya hisab wa haramuha iqab. That the permitted matters of this dunya, there is accountability. And the forbidden matters of this dunya, there is punishment. Meaning, in this dunya, there is halal and haram. And the halal matters you can do. Eating and drinking and houses and cars and marriage, all of this is halal. And a person can do as much as he wants to do so. So there's no aib upon a person who marries, for example, four women, up to four women. And there's no fault upon a person who owns 10 houses. And there's no fault upon a person who drives a nice car, wears nice perfume, or wears nice clothes. But there's hisab, there's accountability. In the akhirah, we're going to be held accountable for the halal matters. And as for the haram matters, there's iqab, there's punishment. So the haram matters we have to stay away from because there's punishment. The halal matters we can do, but we have to be careful because there is also accountability. So the halal matters, we cannot oppress other people to take the halal matters. We cannot exploit other people to take the halal matters because there is hisab, there is accountability. And from the beautiful du'as which the Prophet ﷺ used to make, showing us the correct balance between the dunya and the akhirah, he used to say, Allahumma أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا. Oh Allah, rectify for us our religion, which is the most important part of our affair. وأصلح لنا دنيانا, and also rectify for us our dunya, التي فيها معاشنا, because it contains our living. وأصلح لنا آخرتنا, and also rectify for us our hereafter, التي إليها معادنا, to which is our return. So look in this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he combines between the dunya and the akhirah. Oh Allah, give us goodness in the dunya because we live here, and give us goodness in the akhirah because we are going there. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his duas is, Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbara hammina. Oh Allah, do not make our dunya our greatest worry, our greatest ambition. Meaning we have some ambition in the dunya, but don't make the dunya our greatest ambition. وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا, and do not make this dunya the extent of our knowledge. Meaning we have some knowledge in the dunya, but don't make it the extent of our knowledge, that we only know the dunya, we don't know anything apart from the dunya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq and guidance. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.